to ensure that the competition between our countries does not veer into conflict, whether intended or unintended.
What's next for the U.S. and China? It's Thursday, November 18th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, journalist jailed in Myanmar is home. California vaccine mandate. China film crackdown affects Hollywood. New insights about non-human species. Mimicking Mars on Earth. It's all on today's VOA Asia. After the meeting between their presidents Monday, the U.S. and China agreed to continue dialogue on managing strategic stability on issues such as Taiwan, nuclear arms control, and cybersecurity. But as White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara reports, the fundamentally contentious nature of the U.S.-China relationship is unlikely to change.
The U.S.-China relationship is rife with differences, but there is one thing their leaders agree on. The two sides need to continue talking.
Our responsibility as leaders of China and the United States is to ensure that the competition between our countries does not veer into conflict, whether intended or unintended. Just simple, straightforward competition.
China and the U.S. need to increase communication and cooperation, each run their domestic affairs well, and at the same time, shoulder their share of international responsibilities.
While the tone of the Monday virtual meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping was cordial, analysts say it does not change the fundamentally contentious nature of the relationship. Robert Daly is the director of the Wilson Center's Kissinger Institute on China and the United States.
But like a married couple going to therapy, in which neither is really trying to fix or change the marriage, but each instead is trying to convince the counselor to take his or her side and to gang up against the other.
The most sensitive issue in this troubled relationship is Taiwan. Biden said the U.S. remains committed to the One China policy, but strongly opposes unilateral efforts to change the status quo of the island that is now a separate governing entity from mainland China. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Ensuring peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait, having clear communication, avoiding miscommunication is going to be an important and intensive aspect of work between our militaries, between our national security councils, and between our diplomats.
Following the summit, China's foreign ministry warned Taiwan secessionists not to provoke Beijing. Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian.
On issues concerning China's sovereignty and territorial integrity, China does not have any room for compromise.
Biden and Xi agreed to establish a strategic stability dialogue on other sensitive issues, such as military capability, nuclear arms control, and cybersecurity. Both sides have an interest in keeping the relationship stable. The U.S. will hold midterm elections in 2022, while Xi and the Chinese Communist Party also have important events ahead. Bonnie Lin is the director of the China Power Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Which he wants domestic stability. He wants a relatively stable international environment to make sure that the Olympics goes well, as well as the 20-party Congress goes well.
China is expected to continue its military activities in the Western Pacific, which Washington views as provocation, while Beijing will be bracing for the upcoming Summit for Democracy hosted by Biden in December. Robert Daly.
That is not only about China, of course. It's also about growing authoritarianism in Europe, but it will be experienced by China as a thorn in its side. And the Biden administration will also be announcing soon its new Indo-Pacific strategy, which will be China-centric. And it will be completing its review of China policies.
Possible areas of cooperation between U.S. and China, working together to reduce emissions and tackle the climate crisis, and to end the global COVID-19 pandemic sooner. Patsy Wiedekuswara, VOA News.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. South Korea to ramp up boosters after COVID spike. Biden-Xi meeting raises cautious hopes among regular Americans. Phnom Penh rebuffs U.S. sanctions of Cambodian military leaders. Taliban open letter appeals to U.S. Congress to unfreeze Afghan assets. Delhi's air pollution crisis prompts shutdown of thermal plants, schools, and colleges. Get full coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. Thank you for listening to VOA Asia on this Thursday. American journalist Danny Fenster has arrived back home in the United States for an emotional reunion with his family after 6 months in jail in military-ruled Myanmar. Fenster told reporters his homecoming had been a long time coming. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
An emotional family reunion for American journalist Danny Fenster, 6 months after being wrongfully detained by the military junta in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. Rose Fenster is the mother of freed U.S. journalist Danny Fenster.
No words in time. Amazing.
A day after he was pardoned and released from prison, Fenster had this reaction. Freed U.S. journalist Danny Fenster.
It's a long time coming, you know. It's a day, it's a moment that I've been imagining so intensely for so long. Surpasses everything I imagined.
Fenster told reporters he was not physically mistreated or starved in jail. He was arrested for covering the aftermath of the military coup in February, which has led to the deaths of 1,100 civilians and the arrest of 8,000 during the brutal crackdown in the Southeast Asian nation. Fenster said those who are still wrongfully detained are on his mind. Here again, Danny Fenster.
So I'm going to take time to celebrate and to spend time with my family and then, you know, continue concentrating on all the other, not just journalists and prisoners of conscience in Myanmar and everywhere else.
Fenster arrived in New York Tuesday morning with former U.S. diplomat Bill Richardson, who went to Myanmar to meet with top junta leaders. Richardson described to VOA how he won Fenster's release. Bill Richardson is a former New Mexico governor and veteran diplomat who spoke to VOA.
When we made progress on humanitarian issues and vaccine issues, I said, I think we got some dialogue going. And so that's when I pushed on Danny, and we sealed it.
Richardson added, he believes journalists are the most vulnerable to persecution by authoritarian governments and should be given more attention and protection. Here again, veteran diplomat Bill Richardson, who spoke to VOA.
We should protect every political prisoner and hostage, especially American. But I see journalists across the board being more vulnerable everywhere, not just in Southeast Asia, but in Russia, in Latin America, for their reporting. And that's wrong. They're doing their job.
Fenster was released just days after being sentenced last week in Myanmar for incitement, unlawful association, and breaching visa rules. And his release came just one day before he was to face terror and sedition charges that could have put him in jail for life. But any sentence under the military junta is completely arbitrary, says independent Myanmar journalist Ai Chan Nang.
In this environment in Burma, you know, there is no rule of law. And the law is in their mind of the generals. And they can do whatever they want, and they don't care. So that's the bottom line.
There were more joyful scenes last month when family members of detained pro-democracy protesters crowded around a jail, hoping their loved ones would be among the thousands Myanmar's military junta had promised to release under increasing international pressure. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Still to come on VOA Asia, California's strict vaccine mandate in public places. Happening now in Asia, Myanmar's junta will prosecute ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi for alleged election fraud and lawless actions during 2020 polls that her party won in a landslide, state media reported. A military coup on February 1st ousted the democratically elected government. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now on VOA Asia, customers need to show proof of full COVID-19 vaccination to enter indoor bars, nightclubs, wineries, and other venues in Los Angeles County in the U.S. state of California. The rule, which took effect on November 8th, is considered to be one of the toughest in America. Angelina Bagdasarian has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Los Angeles residents and tourists who are 12 years and older must now show proof of full COVID-19 vaccination to enter indoor bars, nightclubs, beauty parlors, and other venues in Los Angeles County, California. The measure, signed into law by the Los Angeles mayor in early October, is seen as one of the toughest COVID-19 vaccine rules in the country. Before Margot enters the restaurant Hotville Chicken, she presents her COVID-19 vaccination card. Anyone who is not fully vaccinated isn't allowed to enter.
I have some people in my community who won't get vaccinated, and so I like the idea that this is an incentive for people to go ahead and get vaccinated.
Tony Casillas is here with his family. He says he feels safe knowing that everyone around him has been vaccinated.
I think it's a good choice. I think everybody should be vaccinated. It's difficult, but if you kind of explain to them the reasons for it and that you're kind of taking care of other people around you, your loved ones, I think it's a great way to tell them, you know what, you should get vaccinated.
And while the vaccinated customers are enjoying short lines and fast service, owner Kim Prince questions the measure and worries she's losing business and regular diners. The area where Hotville Chicken is located has a vaccination rate of about 50%.
I can walk into an airport like where I am right now, and I don't have to show a vaccination card. I can go into a grocery store, and I don't have to show a vaccination card. When I walk into Hotville Chicken, I have to show a vaccination card. That doesn't compute to me. It doesn't make sense.
Those who have received a vaccine exemption due to religious or medical reasons must show they have tested negative for COVID in the previous 72 hours. Some say the new vaccine rule goes too far.
It's making us not living a normal life, right? Because I think it's really like everybody should get a choice to get into stores and whatever. So I think the mask is enough, but it's too much right now.
If they're making human beings have to show proof of vaccination, that goes against human rights.
Enforcement of the measure begins in late November, with fines for up to $5,000 for businesses that allow in patrons who have not been vaccinated. For Angelina Bagdasarian in Los Angeles, California, Anna Rice, VOA News.
U.S.-based pharmaceutical company Pfizer has signed an agreement with a global United Nations-backed public health group to authorize generic drug makers to produce its experimental COVID-19 pill for 95 countries. Pfizer said Tuesday it signed a deal with Geneva-based Medicines Patent Pool to make the pill for low- and middle-income countries comprising about 53% of the world's population. The company's antiviral is one of a handful of pills that have recently been shown to significantly cut hospitalizations and deaths among people infected with COVID-19. Pfizer is submitting its experimental pill for COVID-19 for authorization by the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S., setting the stage for a likely launch of the promising home therapy in coming weeks.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. A Japanese biotech firm has developed a screening test using tiny genetically modified worms to detect early signs of pancreatic cancer in urine. The firm says it hopes this will boost routine screening. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. China has been making patriotic movies for its domestic audiences while tightening control of its film industry. Developments that have left Hollywood wondering whether its movies will still be welcome in China's lucrative market. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has the details.
Iris Liu is so passionate about filmmaking that she traveled thousands of miles from her home in China to learn from the masters of this art form.
I love film, so I really want to see how a real film goes. And there's no place better than Hollywood.
Liu is studying her craft in Los Angeles, home to Hollywood's studios. She sees a big difference between how the U.S. and China treat movies. Liu says Beijing bans Hollywood movies with certain themes, such as self-exploration.
Those kind of movies be banned a lot in China. I don't know the reason. Probably it's because they try to make everybody think the same. That's why they don't want you to spend too many time to understand yourself.
China has been drawing audiences with patriotic films. At the same time, Beijing is cracking down on its entertainment industry in an effort to narrow the gap between the rich and the poor, says veteran Hollywood executive and author Chris Fenton.
Hollywood-style business that they had in the local industry there was very ostentatious. There was lots of big entourages, lots of flaunting of wealth, and that was creating a lot of animosity among the people that were noticing that stuff.
For years, U.S. production companies have been trying to make Beijing-friendly films to gain entry into the lucrative China market. But Hollywood's film presence in China has been steadily decreasing in recent years. China's tighter grip over its entertainment industry may actually be good news for American filmmakers, says Fenton.
It's going to allow us, hopefully, to go back to making the best movies possible without any sort of premeditated censorship and without any kowtowing to the Chinese government.
U.S.-based Netflix and other studios are now looking at markets outside of China.
There's lots of smaller countries in Southeast Asia, in Latin America, small countries in Europe that haven't been very large in the past that are now starting to come online and really create revenues that are interesting.
But Hollywood can't completely close the door on China, says Stanley Rosen, who teaches Chinese politics and society.
They can't ignore the China market, especially for the big blockbuster films that cost $200 million or more to make. You need that market in China to make your money back.
Ann Rosen says China will also still need Hollywood.
To be the largest film market in the world on a sustainable basis every year, they need the Hollywood product.
But China is moving away from Hollywood, especially by banning certain kinds of movies.
A movie that shows some aspirational quality of democracy. And that aspirational quality of democracy is seen as a threat by the Chinese government. So in a perfect world, they would love to create their own world-class industry that caters to their massive consumer market by itself and not need Hollywood whatsoever.
But Liu sees a benefit in exposure to movies made outside China.
Watch different movies from different countries is actually a way to understand each other.
Just as Liu would like to see Chinese culture better explained in the West through film. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, police in Vietnam summoned a beef noodle seller who parodied the signature style of a Turkish celebrity chef nicknamed Salt Bay in a video. The noodle seller said he wasn't trying to mock anyone and also said it wasn't clear if police summoned him because of the video. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Scientists in South Africa have discovered the first partial Homo naledi child skull in one of the world's richest hominin fossil sites. The discovery at a UNESCO World Heritage site near Johannesburg, called Cradle of Humankind, reveals that the non-human species performed rituals for their dead thousands of years ago before humans did. For VOA, Maurice de Klerk visited the site and has this report.
For paleoanthropologist Lee Berger and his team searching for Homo naledi fossils,
A normal day means contorting themselves through a maze of narrow cracks and holes 30 meters underground. It was on a remote limestone shelf in the Rising Star Cave where they found a partial Homo naledi child's skull. Consisting of 28 fragments and 6 teeth, the find is being called Fossoleti, short for the Tswana word Letimela, meaning the lost one. Leti was discovered 12 meters beyond the Dinaledi chamber, where the first fossils belonging to the previously unknown Homo naledi species were found in 2013. Berger says Leti's solitary location is significant.
She wasn't dragged in there by a scavenger or carnivore. There are no marks of that on her bones. We know she wasn't washed in there. We can see that from the sediments. We know she didn't crawl in there because the rest of her body, which would be much stronger than these parts, isn't there.
Berger surmised one of the other Homo naledi moved Leti to that inaccessible shelf. Leti's discovery in 2017 was only recently revealed. Based on its teeth, scientists determined Leti died between the ages of 4 and 6. Her remains are believed to be as old as other recovered Homo naledi fossils, says Rising Star Expedition geologist Tebogo Makubela.
Because of the similarity of the geology with the same sediments and the same deposition or preservation style, we believe that it is the same time period of 241,000 to 335,000 years old.
Leti will soon be included with the other Homo naledi fragments of over 20 individuals, along with the world-famous Taung child and Littlefoot, the most complete hominid fossil found so far in this vault at South Africa's Wits University. Marise de Klerk, VOA News, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. Finally on VOA Asia, with its red and yellow rock formations, the Ramon Crater in Israel's Negev Desert has been compared to the surface of Mars. Now scientists are using the landscape deep in the desert for experiments to help make human travel to Mars a reality. For VOA, Linda Gradstein and Ricky Rosen visited the mission in the crater.
For the first time after 30 days of isolation, 6 international astronauts emerged from their space station without protective spacesuits. They had just completed a simulated mission to Mars in Israel's Ramon Crater, whose red desert terrain resembles a Martian landscape.
In the morning when you wake up and look outside the small windows and you see this red landscape and nobody there and you can't go outside and only communication is only with the time delay, you start to feel really isolated and really far away pretty soon. And then when you step outside of the airlock in the suit and hear your breath and your breathing and the communication and everything, it feels really realistic. And of course you still know that you're not on Mars, but you can really imagine what it would feel like.
The Amadi 20 mission, sponsored by the Austrian Space Forum and hosted by the Israeli Space Agency, involved more than 20 scientific experiments. The astronauts practiced exploring the terrain in spacesuits weighing 50 kilos. But the astronauts also had to deal with earthly tasks like plumbing.
Let's say we had some technical issues with maybe the toilet, for example, that we need to fix because that's what we have. And the same would be on Mars, that you need to fix your own issues. You're kind of on your own, and it's not easy to get an extra toilet into Mars.
The director of the Austrian Space Forum praised the astronauts and says the first human to walk on Mars is already born.
And for those people, this building behind me, the most modern, most complex Mars simulation station on this planet as we speak, will be one of their first stepping stones in a ship voyage that is yet to be undertaken.
And this mission, he said, has brought that journey to Mars closer than it has ever been before. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, the Ramon Crater, Israel.
That's all the time we have on VOA Asia. Make sure to find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at VOAnews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stillen. I'm Chris Gaskill in Washington. Enjoy the day.